how many languages do you speak? The answer is one. You are not alone. You might think you've missed the window of opportunity to learn a second language as you got older, or that languages just aren't your strong suit. I have thought those exact things myself. But our next guest says no matter where we are in life, we can take on that challenge and join a growing number of bilingual Americans. He says it has big benefits for ourselves and for society as a whole. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you do speak more than one language, how did you learn two of them, or three of them, or four of them? Did you pick it up in childhood or later in life? What has speaking another language done for you? If you're monolingual, which language would be at the top of your list to learn? Do you think that the opportunity has passed you by? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Steve Levine is the founder of the America the Bilingual Project and author of the new book, America's Bilingual Century, How Americans Are Giving the Gift of Bilingualism to Themselves, their loved ones, and their country. This Thursday, he's speaking at a free virtual event held by the UW-Madison Languages Institute. Find a link to that at wpr.org/centraltime. Steve, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hey, Rob. Yes, thank you for that introduction. I'm delighted to be here.
I am inspired by your book because you grew up kind of like me. I didn't speak a second language. I had some shots at it. I fizzled and didn't pursue it. But you got there. What is it? Can you talk about your own journey to being bilingual, to adopting a second language?
Yes. Well, I guess I would describe my own language biography as failure to launch.
Sam.
In college, when I flunked my German proficiency exam. But it wasn't until much later in life, really at retirement age, that I decided to get serious about learning Spanish. And what happened is I would casually mention at a cocktail party, you know, people say, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm learning Spanish. And oh my gosh, if you want to have lively conversations just mention that you're learning another language, because oh my gosh, people just opened up with pronouncements and complaints and things that really kind of threw me. For example, people would say, well, why bother? The whole world speaks English. Or why bother? We're going to have technology in our ears. We're going to do instant translation and we won't have to learn another language. But other people came up to me and they say, oh my gosh, how are you doing it? Because I really want to learn Italian. For some reason, people whisper when they want to know the secret. I got so many reactions and disparate reactions that I went back to school. I was a science writer early in my career, and I gave up my business career and went back to school and just studied bilingualism in the United States and worldwide. And what I found just kind of astounded me. First of all, because bilingualism is far larger in the United States than I knew, and I think that most Americans understand. And it's also far more diverse than really any other country. Diverse in large quantities of speakers. And anyway, that's what I'm going to be showing. It's kind of hard to describe this in sure. words. The talk on Thursday is going to have data visualizations, which used to be called charts and graphs. Now it's called data visualizations. But it really deserves to be. It's a story that's not reported yet in the United States. Is how big bilingualism is, the benefits of it, and how to be part of it.
Let's get to some of the how to be part of it. One thing I loved is, and I think about this, I've been doing a free app for Spanish for a couple of years now, and you see arguments, use this app, no, you got to take a class, no, you got to have immersion, whatever. Mm-hmm. What I love is you say, you know, different things might work for different people, but the key is, what place is it going to have in your life? Where are you going to find to use it? And that's going to motivate you to do whichever method. Talk about why that's so important.
Yeah. Well, when newcomers come to it, I know I did. The first question is, well, how should I do it? You know, should I use Duolingo or Rosetta Stone or Pimsleur, or what about a tutor? And by the way, I've done every method possible, including five tutors that all of whom are in therapy now. But So here's the thing. All the methods are good. I haven't found a bad method out there, but the methods are only going to take you so far, and they're only going to give you so many hours. I mean, even if you're a nut on Duolingo, which is a great app, you're only going to amass a couple of hundred hours in that, in all likelihood. But to start to get comfortable in the language, we're really talking several thousand hours. And in order to do that, no matter how motivated you are as a learner, it's important to find where the language will live in your life. Where will your adopted language live in your life? And don't be put off that you have to figure this out right away. But eventually, you're going to want to know, like if it's Italian, that are you going to be studying opera in Italian? Are you, not that you're a singer, but are you going to be reading about opera in Italian? Are you going to go to Italy every summer? Have you married into an Italian-speaking household? These are all ways that can provide the why for you. And the whys are quite important.
Talking to Steve Levine about his new book, America's Bilingual Century. You can join in at 800-642-1234 to talk about the languages you speak. Is that exactly one, like pretty much still me, even after a couple years of trying, or two, or three, or four? What's your language story? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go to our callers now. Willem is with us in Colfax. Hey, Willem.
Hi. I'm an immigrant to this country, and I immigrated with my family to Holland, Michigan. And when we did that, there were still like Dutch church services, and we spoke Dutch in our home. And so I speak Dutch and English. And I think that what was interesting about how quickly we picked it up as children, I have two brothers and a sister, and we all picked it up fairly quickly through going to school and I think, you know, having people help us and stuff. So we could speak English before my mother could really understand English well, which was sometimes useful and entertaining. But if my father was around, he spoke four languages, so we couldn't pull that on him. But I just think it's interesting. If you speak another language, you realize there are terms and words and phrases that are that you can't translate, really. They don't translate into English. So that's like so how language reflects culture sometimes, that, you know, cultural things occur that aren't, you know, transmittable by other languages.
Well, thanks a lot for that call. See, we could do a lot with that call. One is, it's a different way of thinking about the world if you can think and talk in another language, right?
Absolutely. And Willem is right about opening up the culture in a way that nothing else can. And I'm so happy to hear his language biography, that he, and it sounds like maybe his siblings too, have kept up their Dutch, because, you know, the old American narrative is that our parents or grandparents or great-grandparents came to this country and purposefully did not pass on their heritage language to their children. Well, and it's because they were patriotic and Americans and happy to be here. And I'm sure that's all true. It's also true that they were practical. And back before 1960, it wasn't practical to go back on a steamship to the home country. Mm. And communication technology to the home country were handwritten letters. And the jobs that were available to themselves and their children were primarily English-speaking jobs because they were local jobs. Well, fast forward to today, where you can get back to the home country, in Holland in this case, quite easily, absent a pandemic, on airliners. And communication technology, well, I won't go into that. We all know what has happened beyond the handwritten letter. And the jobs that are available today, not just with the big corporations like the Googles and the Amazons and the Lyfts of the world, but even in small and medium-sized businesses are increasingly global and international. So today, it's practical for immigrant parents to pass on the language to their children. And it's not just immigrant parents and children. It's all Americans who are realizing the benefits of bilingualism and also realizing that we can be proud and loyal Americans by speaking English. You know, what I say, English is what unites us. Our other languages are what strengthen us and define us.
Thanks for the call, Willem. We're talking to Steve Levine, founder of the America the Bilingual Project, author of the book America's Bilingual Century, talking to him about the benefits of speaking multiple languages and how to get started with learning a second one, even if you think you're terrible at it, like me. Call 800-642-1234. Were multiple languages part of your family, your household growing up? Did you learn a second language in adulthood? How did it go for you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk now with Steve Levine, author of the book America's Bilingual Century. He'll be speaking at a virtual event through UW-Madison's Language Institute this Thursday. We're looking at the benefits of bilingualism and how to learn another language at any age. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with your stories, maybe your questions about language learning and bilingualism in the U.S. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Back to your calls now. Sabina is with us in Milwaukee. Sabina, hi.
Hi there.
What did you want to tell us about?
Yeah, it resonated what this program is about for me. My parents were immigrants, my father from Hungary, my mother from Germany. They met here in Milwaukee, and they were older when they immigrated, so they retained their language and their culture, and these are languages we spoke at home. But that was really unusual, as pointed out at the time. All of our immigrant friends, they spoke English with their kids, and it was kind of different and strange, but it was what we did at home. It opened a world up to us. My siblings and I, we could go to Europe, communicate with our relatives who didn't speak English. It led to me working in ESL and meeting people from many cultures in many places, and I think there's an expression in Hungarian, how many languages you speak, it's how many people you are. And I think by that, I mean, it just really develops you and grows you as a person and really opens the world up to you. And I've passed this on to my daughter as well. I find it really extremely enriching for individuals, from starting with the language to the culture, the travel, and everything. It really, it's something that I think should be part of the curriculum from the very beginning of education, so everyone can learn a second language.
I love it, Sabina. Thank you so much. I think that exact quote you use in your book, Steve, I don't want to start a new Balkan war. I think you attribute it as a Czech saying, but it still holds, right?
Yes. Well, what a lovely story from Sabina and her language biography. And again, I'm delighted to hear that she has not only kept the language alive in her own life, but passed it on to her daughter. And she mentioned school curriculums and how they should include this. There's a lot of good news going on in that area. There's been a tremendous growth in what are called dual language schools, where they teach half the day in English and half the day in some other language. And whether that's Spanish or Mandarin or what have you. And it's really just a wonderful gift to give to children, because they end up being stronger in English, believe it or not, and also more academically proficient, and they graduate their classes being bilingual. There's also something called the Seal of Biliteracy, which Wisconsin has, where students can earn a seal on their diploma and their electronic transcripts that tells universities and employers that they have real proficiency reading and writing in another language besides English. And that's something that didn't exist just 10 years ago. So there's been a lot of changes in the school system. The Milwaukee School Board is lucky to have a fellow named Tony Baez on the board who's led a lot of changes. So yay for Wisconsin.
Thanks a lot for that call, Sabina, at 800-642-1234. We go now to Jerry in Johnson Creek. Jerry, hi.
Hello. Hola. I am so excited to talk to you about learning a new language. I'm 73 years old. I didn't start this until 4 years ago. And if you knew how many hours a day I study, you'd lock me up. I just absolutely love it. It's so addicting and fun. I use many different methods to learn. Online courses, Duolingo, I love that. I do that every morning. Reading books, writing. I took four semesters of an online course at UW-Milwaukee with a fabulous professor named Karen, and I'm starting a new course with her very shortly. When I started making errors and laughing at myself, that's when I knew I was making progress. And it is so much fun to be able to talk to people. We're going to Oaxaca in December and Puerto Vallarta in February. And you just cannot learn or know a culture until you know the people's language. And when you go to another country and you speak their language, they just light up. It's absolutely amazing.
Jerry.
I just wanted to say it's one of the most exciting things I've ever done in my life.
I love it. I love the enthusiasm. I'm inspired, Steve. How about you?
Yes, and Jerry, I'm just a few years behind you in your bilingual adventure, and boy, what a wonderful story. And you point out, I think, an important point, which is that people think of language struggle, language study as a struggle, because maybe our classes back in the day were a struggle. Well, it doesn't have to be that way. It can be a joy every step of the way. It doesn't mean it won't be without frustration, but when you're frustrated and when you're struggling is when you learn the most. And good language teachers will let you struggle, right? I mean, you may have experienced that. And the struggling is when you're learning, and you'll have other times where it's just easy and flowing and you have these breakthroughs that are aha moments. And I'm so happy to get your call. And you're living proof that you're never too old to adopt a language and to live the larger life that you were meant to do.
Jerry, thank you so much for sharing that. But Steve, Jerry makes me think of an obstacle that I have, and I assume I'm not alone. It's like, okay, I'm doing the Spanish thing too. I'm going to lay some Spanish on Jerry. And then the panic comes, and like my heart rate goes up, and I lose all of it. Like that anxiety, I assume, I hope other people have it. I'm not the only one. How do we get past that?
Well, here's a little trick I use. I say, estoy aprendiendo español. Me puede ayudar, and ayudarme, which means I'm studying Spanish. Will you help me?
Okay.
And once you say that, they, of course, they're going to help you, and you have a wonderful conversation. Yeah, because it can be embarrassing if you rattle off a good sentence and then they turn on the fire hose, and then you're kind of like what, duh.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, thanks again for that call, Jerry. That was very inspiring. At 800-642-1234, talking to Steve Levine about his book, America's Bilingual Century. Can you talk a little more, Steve, about the societal benefits of more of us are learning extra languages, not just what's in it for us as individuals, what's in it for us overall?
Sure. On a national level, you know, linguistic capital is part of our human capital. And it is what allows us to first hear the world, listen to the world, and then to not just compete in the world. You know, there's an expression which is, if you want to buy something, you can do that in your language. But if you want to sell something, you can probably finish that. You better do it in the language of your customers, because if you don't, your competitors will. And by the way, when I say selling something, I don't mean just stuff like, you know, soft drinks and automobiles. I mean ideas and persuading. And it's not just competing, it's collaborating effectively. And, you know, people who say the whole world speaks English, well, my answer to that is you're right if you're a tourist. And being a tourist is an important thing. I hope we all get to be tourists again. Tourism is great for the economy. It's great for the tourists, et cetera. But it's not the most important thing humans do when they travel internationally. In all of the professions, whether it's diplomacy and development or in medicine or law or in business, unless you have professional level language skills, you're just not going to be competitive. You're just not going to be able to collaborate on a professional level. And so the United States already, as I mentioned, is very strong in our international, in our linguistic capital, but we are on an exciting inflection point where people like Wilhelm and Sabina and Jerry and their children have understood that being bilingual is a patriotic act And it's something they want. It's a gift they want to pass on to their children. And yes, it helps our country immensely in internal communications, and even more importantly, external communications. It's such a big part of our soft power.
Steve, so many callers on the line that came in the home stretch. We'll have to do this again sometime, I think. Thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate it.
What a pleasure, Rob, and good luck on your journey. Buena suerte.
I need it. Thank you. Gracias. That's Steve Levine, founder of the America the Bilingual Project and author of the book, America's Bilingual Century, How Americans Are Giving the Gift of Bilingualism to Themselves, Their Loved Ones, and Their Country. He'll be speaking this Thursday at 4 at a free virtual event through UW-Madison Language Institute. We've got a link up. You can find more info on that over at WPR.org/Central Time. Still time to share your stories of bilingualism or your efforts to get there on the Ideas Network Facebook page.